Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
This is going to be great.
It's gonna be Chase Budinger great. That's gonna be my new thing for everything.
Oh, all right. Our new expectation level. Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables. The day is oh god. All right. All right. One more time.
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so just
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Wee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
I got my sweet jerk with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Yeah, so just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables. It is August 9th, 2015, and this is episode 126. I am your temporary host, John Colson, also known as the bartender. We'd like to start out this week with a quick-hitting question. There are 16 members of the Pacers roster right now. Who's out?
Yeah, so we claimed Tony Douglas, point guard, after he cleared waivers, and while you would think that we should keep him at any cost because he's one of two legitimate point guards on our team, he may end up being the one to go anyway. This is a chance to get him into camp, see if he surprises us. But no other team in the league really wanted him, so I don't know that this guy sticks.
So you're saying last one in, first one out?
Last one in, first one out.
Yeah. You know, our front court, though, is so jumbled. We've got a million guys that are all 6'9".
And still no centers.
That's right. And they all seem to be about the same amount of sort of good. I think Shane Winnington has a real chance to lose his job in this situation. You know, Tony Douglas, I think, is going to come in and probably outduel the rookie Joseph Young and look better at him in practice because he's got NBA experience. But you still want to hold on to Joseph Young as a project. So I think maybe White Towel, the sequel, gets the axe in this.
Not fan favorite Shane Winnington.
Well, I mean, who are your other options? We love Rakeem Christmas, apparently.
The kid can jump. He's young. And besides, it can be Christmas every day.
we hope he stays on the team just so we can make Christmas jokes all year.
Yeah. I think it'll just help all of the guys that are kind of playing the one. I mean, we're talking about a scenario in which not only Hill, but Stuckey, Ellis, Robinson, Young, all these guys are kind of be fighting in for 1 minute. A lot of these guys want to play guard too, but we got to figure out what works before the preseason starts. So I think having an extra point guard out there, even if he doesn't make the team, the way that he approaches a game he's a legitimate NBA point guard, right? So I think that helps everybody, even if he doesn't make the team. And for the record, for me, I would let Shane Whittington go. That would be I've been saying that for years. Sorry, Shane. We love you. You can eat shrimp like no man's business. But
that's right. Doslow not making the cut. I mean, where's AJ Price when you need him? We could use some real point guards.
He got signed, didn't he?
Where? Somewhere else besides with us, huh?
I want to say the Cavs.
Ah, those bastards.
It's what they do.
It's what they do. Well, the voice you heard there was the Enforcer joining me as always. He's out in Seattle, Washington. What's up, Harper?
What up, buddy? This may be my last show from Seattle. I am eyeing a move down to Eugene, so
what?
I may be absent for the next couple weeks, but trying to get it in while I can here. Celebrating my final Seattle show, I'm drinking a Deschutes Brew, an Inversion IPA, which is from Bend, and my backup also from Oregon. So I didn't do a very good job of matching my drink to my state, I guess. Probably should have got a Washington brew for this, huh?
Well, no, it's speaking to your coming move. You're excited. We're excited for you, and we appreciate you scheduling this move during the off season.
Thanks. Priorities, buddy.
That's right. We can't do this without you. We are coast to coast like butter toast, and we'll still be because you're not leaving the West Coast. So.
No, I will, in fact, be near the beach, the real beach.
Nice. I am enjoying a Sun King Sundial Farmhouse Ale. I don't know if you're familiar with farmhouse ales. I just learned about them. They're kind of like Belgian style, Saison style. And in the countrysides of France and Belgium, at the end of the season, they would sort of just sweep up the barns and throw it all into the beer. And so they have this weird funkiness, and they would let them ferment all winter long and then open them up again for the farmers in the spring. And that's where you get your farmhouse ale.
That sounds fantastic. I love barn sweeper beer.
That's right. Well, and I don't want to hear, you know, I don't need the texts from the brewers out there that listen to the show. I don't exactly know what I'm talking about.
Called the old dregs ale.
That's right. I mean, clearly I have sort of the sense of what it is. I don't need to know exactly what it is. Save your angry emails. Thank you. Well, Harper, I think one of the things that we were wanting to do, the last pod we had, we were talking a lot about the changes with the team. A lot more has happened since our last podcast. We've signed a bunch of dudes, and I think we need to talk about how our roster is shaking out.
So first and foremost, we should note that we did lock in Monte.
Yay! Monte has it all.
Monte got it all. What else have we done?
Well, we picked up Rakeem Christmas, who I think if you remember a few pods ago, we were talking right before the draft, actually. This was a guy the Pacers organization had eyed as a second-round pick, and we're really excited about him. And he, you know, basically, we all but guaranteed him that we would sign him. Joseph Young fell to us, and so we drafted him instead. But we still found a way to go out and get him. I think we traded a second-round draft pick, or I'm not exactly sure what we did, but we gave somebody money. And
but we made it happen. Yeah.
We made it happen. So this kid must be legit, or he has incriminating photos of Larry Bird. So he's on the team. We also went out and got Glenn Robinson III. So this is big dog Glenn Robinson's kid, right? Local hero, Purdue product, went on to have a very good NBA career. So that kind of came out of nowhere for me. Do you know anything about Glenn Robinson III?
Very little. Before today, I thought he was a point guard, but apparently he's a 3-4. He's 6'7". So I don't really know where he fits in. I mean, we've been talking a lot about getting more athletic and how that's kind of the first step for us. And this guy is definitely a position flex guy. I don't know that he has a natural position. So I think you just throw them in the mix and kind of see how these guys start to work together. Because we're trying something so new, I just think that there's probably going to be, as evidenced by the fact that we have more players than we're really allowed to have.
Right,
there's going
to be
a lot of we're going to throw a lot of stuff and see what sticks.
That is definitely you get that sense. So he was drafted 40th by the Timberwolves, so not even a first round draft pick. Are we not really calling him a shooter? I don't think. Yeah, an athlete. Is the way to go.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
So you throw him in with a bunch of other guys that are 6'6", 6'7", like Miles Turner and Solomon Hill, and is Chase Buttinger around that height? Just a reminder that Chase Buttinger is now a Pacer. Sorry. Sorry, Pacer Nation. That is a reality that you have to come to terms with. A lot of options on the wing. We got lots of options, and it's not clear how this stuff shakes out, right? What we do know is that George Hill and Paul George will be starting, and probably Monta Ellis. So, you know, those three starters are locked.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
It's unclear where Paul George starts. Will he start at 3? Will we start him at 4? Roddy Stuckey, I think, is probably coming off the bench. He embraced that role last year, and I think one of the reasons he came back to us is because he enjoyed that role. So does that leave room for Chase or for Miles, C.J. Miles in the 3 position?
Good Lord, I don't know. We just vacated the one spot altogether, so now we've just got tons of 2 threes, 3 fours, and 4 fives, right? So yeah. You can kind of do whatever you want. I mean, I think that part of the strategy really is that Larry Bird isn't sure exactly what coach wants to do, because this is a new system for him as well. So he's given him lots of different ways to go, it seems like. I don't know. Do you start a rookie at center right out of the gate? I mean, he's potentially our best player.
Yeah, I don't think you do, though. I mean, I mean, maybe you do and give him the reps, but I mean, I think I would put in a Lavoy Allen or a Jan Mahimny at center and say, you know, you can keep this if you keep it up, but Miles Turner's right on your heels. We're going to let him learn the game. And maybe by the All-Star break, you make the switch. Something like that. Because, you know, Jan and Lavoy at least know what our system is. Although, but maybe actually...
They know what our system was.
Yeah. Well, they know what's expected of them defensively. But Miles Turner showed, at least in summer camp, that he is no slouch on the defensive end. So
I would argue that those are the two least likely people to start at 5.
Okay. All right. So you're saying it's Miles Turner. Or...
Or Jordan Hill.
Jordan Hill.
Those guys are the more athletic of the bunch. If we want the big shot blocker, we go with Miles Turner. If we just want the speed and athleticism, we go with Jordan Hill.
Well, you know, you have an opportunity to start one of them if you don't start Paul George at 4. You can start Miles Turner and, say, Lavoy Allen or something like
My
that.
Preference is still to start Paul George at 3. I just don't think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, that's really a Vogel call, but... you know, it's also what's going to happen in training camp, right? You figure it out. You just throw.
So your ideal lineup then would be Hill, Ellis, George,
and then
Allen, Mahinmi.
Allen, and then probably Miles Turner. I think he is the future at center. I was saying, hey, maybe start with stability. But if I've got Lavoy next to him, then I'm saying go ahead. If I've got Paul George at 4, I want to start Jan Mahinmi. I just feel like they've got some connection. Jan Mahimny is going to be, an enforcer on some level. You've got to protect your superstar and not do that with a rookie. But if you start Paul George at 3, I think you can start Turner at 5 and put Lavoy next to him.
So I think that my starting lineup, if it were me, would be Hill, Ellis, George at 3, Jordan Hill, and Miles Turner. I'm ready to embrace the youth and just let them develop on the court. I don't need to win 50 games this year. So let's throw them out there and see what we got. I think, however, that the lineup will probably be Hill, Ellis.
C.J. Miles,
maybe even Chase Budinger at 3. Paul George at 4. And I think that he will start Jordan Hill at 5.
Okay. You love this Jordan Hill guy.
He's an established NBA basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, on a really crappy Lakers team.
But he started for them, and he had reasonable numbers.
So we're basically, at this point, being like, hey, we're going to be as good as the Lakers were last year. That hurts.
How many games did they win without Kobe in a tough Western Conference?
Like 4.
I'm not sure that our team without Jordan Hill and Paul George could do that.
Yeah. So who's your bench then? I mean, you know, it's clear that I think you know, Stuckey's going to come off the bench. Solomon Hill is going to have to fight for his minutes now because he's got Chase Budinger, Glenn Robinson right there, and then Joe Young. We're going to try to get him some minutes.
That's going to be pretty spotty.
Yeah.
I think that on the second unit, and so I think that not only will Vogel feel the pressure, but I think Larry Bird wants, and it may even make the most sense given where we are, to get that athletic team out in our first unit. But I think there's room on the second unit to play a slightly different style of basketball that's a little more akin to what we've played in the past. And I think on that unit, you could reasonably put Lavoie Allen and Jan Mahinmi on the floor at the same time.
Okay, okay.
You know, Stuckey at one, depending on how things shake out, CJ Miles or Chase Budinger, and then Solo.
Okay.
That'd be kind of your standard second rotation. And from three to five, that's a pretty standard operating defensive team, right? I mean, that's a pretty
and you know,
they're post oriented,
and there's scoring there. You know, I mean, you got some shooting.
As long as Stuckey's on the floor, yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's true, that's true. Yeah, no, I feel pretty good about that second unit going to war with that. And yeah,
you want to start that unit, don't you?
No, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting year. I must say that I've spent a lot of time mourning the loss of Roy Hibbert and you know, David West were the rocks and hearts and souls of that front court, and now we've got like eight dudes. So we'll see who shakes out and see what happens.
There was a really long and I suppose fairly interesting article. I don't know if there's a whole lot new there on ESPN about Hibbs and his adjustment to the Lakers and really about why he thinks that things shook out the way they did in Indiana. Probably worth a read.
Really?
Talks a lot about, you know, his own psychology and, you know, how he, you know, we've talked about how he's kind of his own worst enemy on the court, and he talks a little bit about that too. He actually hired part-time, like on staff, a sports psychologist or therapist or whatever you call it. Probably depends on the degree.
Right.
But I think he's kind of embraced that, you know, that he does get the soft label. And, you know, he was also very gracious toward the organization. He was like, you know, they told me that I wasn't going to be guaranteed minutes if I signed, but it didn't diminish, you know, the relationship that we have with them and all that kind of stuff. So that was good to hear that there's not a lot of bad blood there. I don't know if David West agrees, but
yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, I'm glad to hear that. I know that, you know, I mean, I don't know anything, but my perception is from what we've heard.
I'm glad we're all listening to you on the radio.
Yeah. From what we've heard, it sounds like David West was, you know, he's near the end of his career. He's looking for a chance to win. And, you know, he was on the fence about whether to resign with the Pacers. And the way that Hibbert was treated helped him make his decision. And then, as Bird has admitted, once West left, he had to make all these changes. And that's when Hibbert was going to be traded. He wasn't necessarily going to be traded before that. And, you know, you make all these moves. You lose Scola, which I still can't figure out. You know, I feel like Scola can work in an up-and-down offense.
Scola makes no sense in our
The
office.
Dude runs like, he looks great. He runs with the little blades through the air and his hair's flopping. It's great. He looks faster than he is.
You will take anyone with a ponytail because it appears that they're going faster than they are.
It is. And, you know, the thing is he, you know, you talk about culture creation and keeping that culture. And that was the guy that.
But we're not talking about that, though. We're talking about reinventing it from the ground up. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, is that the right idea? I mean, you go
that's
from.
That's a different conversation.
Well, you go from a winning team with a winning culture. And now, granted, we had clearly.
We weren't a winning team last year.
Not last year, but the guys that. Yeah, you're right. Ah. But the people that knew how to win from the old teams were still available. So, you know, I don't know. Scola was the guy that would, you know, get floor burns for that team. And I think that was useful in the locker room as well on the floor. You know, we're looking at – I mean, you think about a Philly that is constantly rotating through young kids. And there's nobody there to say, this is how we do things. Except George Hill and Paul George. And I really hope – and I they're both great guys. And they both have great work ethics. So I hope that that's enough. Because we got a whole bunch of young, new dudes, and I don't want to be Philly.
No, and I'm with you. But I think if you take the premise that Larry Bird has taken, which is that we need to change from X to Y, if you accept that premise is true, then all these other things sort of make sense, and most of them seem like good decisions within that sort of rubric, right? You're just still kind of backlashing against the change.
Yeah, sure.
John's old school. John's a crotchety old man.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, no, well, I like the good old days.
Back in my day, we didn't have these fancy dancy positionless
these,
basketball
these hickory
teams.
Jerseys.
Oh, yeah, we should shout out to the fake Mylon jerseys. So the Pacers are going to wear jerseys this season, special jerseys. Like they do the retro jerseys last year. We were actually undefeated in those until the last game of the season, I think. And this year we have a Hickory jerseys. If you'll recall, Hickory was the team from Hoosiers, the classic basketball movie. Now, Pacer Nation, I assume by listening to this podcast, you've seen that movie. But if not, pause the podcast right now.
Stop.
Go watch the movie because that's way better than this crap. That's a great movie. Anyway, we are going to be honoring that movie, and I suppose in some way honoring that team by wearing the Hickory jerseys. They look cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it. I'm a little ambiguous because I feel like we're advertising for a movie studio more than we are advertising for the high school and the history, but whatever.
Yeah. No, I'm a bit ambivalent about it, too. I think they do look good. Keith Olbermann went off on a rant. He was so mad about the jerseys and how they didn't celebrate the actual Milan team. And then it turned into a tirade about how bad the Pacers suck, too. Yeah, it was not cool. Keith Olbermann was not my friend that day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't hate it as much as Keith Olbermann does, apparently.
No, neither do I. Yeah. It was a great movie. And
it was. And it's part of it. The movie's part of Indiana history on some level. And
yeah. And I'm sorry, but no one knows who Milan High School is unless you're a huge Indiana basketball geek.
Right.
Everybody, people are going to recognize Hickory, right?
Right. And they do look cool.
So whatever. Suck it, Olbermann.
Making friends, that's what we do here on the pod.
Whatever. He can diss the jerseys. Don't take my team down with him.
That's right. That's true. I think he just canceled his appearance on our show now.
So close. The other guy that I'm just really excited to see in a Pacer jersey or a Hickory jersey, whatever. Monte Ellis. This is just going to be fun. And when him and Stuckey are out there on the floor together, we're just going to be awfully tough to defend in the backcourt. There's going to be a lot of movement. These guys aren't afraid to put up shots. And, that's going to – we're going to need a bunch of offensive rebounding this year. But I think we got – I think even in spite of our size, we've got the, sort of horses in the stable to get it done on the oak glass. So it's just going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to what Vogel can show us.
This is going to be a whole new era. You're right. The pace is going to be very different. A lot of guys just chucking up shots and going after O-boards. And I'm hoping that there's lots of ball movement. I mean, that's going to be important because you got a lot of ball-dominant guys. But I don't know. This could be really fun, or it could be a total disaster. Do you have some sense of what – I mean, just right now speculating without seeing the schedule or whatever. You want to throw out a number that you can change later in your prediction show. What your range is you think we can win next year?
So my feeling from the start of this process is that the goal is to be at 500 through the All-Star break and then kind of turn it on from there, right? You're going to start off the season slow no matter what. If you can kind of climb back to 500, then you're in pretty good shape. That's going to leave you, when did the All-Star break fall? Like 48, 49 games in, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
So you have another 23 games, and if you can win 12, 13, end up 5-6 games over 500 in the East – I mean, that could put you in the top half of the bracket. So I still think that this can be, I don't see it being a 50-win team, but, there's a road to us winning 47 games next year.
Jason will love to play back this audio if I'm wrong. But, last year we had pretty good team without Paul George, and we didn't win very many games. Paul George is a difference maker, and if he's on the floor and healthy, we're going to win more games than we should. But this is a lot of young kids. It's kind of a motley crew. It's not clear who's people, what positions people are supposed to be playing. And that's on Vogel to figure out. But and you're just not going to figure that out early on. I agree with you. This is going to be rough out of the gate. And I am afraid that if we dig ourselves too big a hole, it's going to be hard to get out of it. I'm looking at this team to be somewhere between the 32 to 40 win range. Yeah, I think we don't make the playoffs again next year. So,
all right. So I would make the argument that this last year very much was a motley crew, and the reason, yes, we wanted those guys on our team, we built that team, but we weren't expecting to have to play a lot of those guys extended minutes every game. Right? We kind of got thrown into that because of injuries, obviously to Paul George, but not only Paul George, David West, George Hill.
Our bench was very solid. It stretches. Once we figured it out. I don't know. Okay, we're going to win 45 games. You're right. I'm over it. Monte Ellis is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy could be an all-star in the East.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who else is there?
Yeah. Good point. Well, the Cavs got better.
Well, the Cavs got better because they got Kevin Love, right?
Right, right. And we will not be seeing them in the Eastern Conference Finals. I can guarantee you that.
I would bet against that. I mean, I don't guarantee anything in the East.
Yeah. Well, that was you're so optimistic. There's so much hope in you, and I appreciate that.
Is it, what happened? Is there something about the like magnetic poles and a two-man pod somehow flip? Now I'm the optimist out here?
Potentially. Now, I mean, does your optimism extend to other sports? How excited are you about the Colts this year?
Oh, it's time to talk Colts, huh?
I mean, I figure, right? I mean, it's almost the beginning of football season. It's the weather here is already getting cold and gray. We're ready for football.
I'm telling you, I'm ready for it, too. Basketball is kind of in the summer doldrums right now, but minicamps are over. Training camp's about to start. It's almost football season, buddy. And we have been very, very, very busy.
Harper's Colts update.
I don't know. You're the expert. I don't know. I feel like lots happened.
Lots has happened.
So one of the things for me, I get sad when we lose people, but we lost some pretty important guys that have been on the team for a long time, right?
I mean, we lost one guy.
Who's that?
That was Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, that hurts.
Reggie Wayne, a guy we love, really hobbled by injuries last year. Real warrior, tried to play through it. But you could tell the guy was in pain. He had this decade-long streak of games where he had like three catches or something, which is really absurd. Finally broken last year. And it was just tough to watch him go out there, knowing how bad he was hurting and just gutting it out. Really wanted to do his job on the team. He was owed a lot of money. It's football, the way these contracts are structured. Unfortunately, this happens. We saw it happen with Marvin, too.
Right.
He wasn't, he was a free agent. He was going to demand a lot of money. I take that back. He wasn't actually signed. We let him go in free agency. But he will, in all likelihood, be playing somewhere next season.
Oh, yeah. Has he not been signed? He's still out there?
I don't think officially he has been signed. No, there's teams with a lot of interest. And he's going to be great for somebody somewhere. And whether that contribution comes and touchdown catches on the field or just teaching a young locker room how to play this game the right way, somebody's going to have a good signing out of Reggie Wayne.
Well, so he goes down not only as one of the great receivers in Colts history, but one of the great receivers in NFL history, right? This guy was just incredible.
Yes. And so, I don't think his resume is done, but he's had a Hall of Fame kind of career. Yep. So
it's sad to see guys like that go. Like I said, Indiana's second Reggie.
So we did make a couple other cuts. Ricky Jean-Francois is gone. We paid a lot of money for him in free agency. It was not working out. More recently, Gazdar Chereles, a guy who we made the highest paid right tackle in the NFL after two sort of injury-riddled years where he was not as effective as we were hoping. We have parted ways with him as well. We're trying to get our O-line together right now. We did pick up Todd Harriman's in free agency. Eagles guy. Like him a lot. Donald Thomas still on the pup on the O-line. So we're moving Jack Muhort over to right tackle. The early indications are that he's settling in pretty well there. But no matter how you chop it up, the O-line right now is still a bit of a question mark. It's one of those positions where you need chemistry and you got to play together. So
it's also pretty important trying to protect your quarterback, right?
Andrew Luck does a hell of a lot of things to help protect himself, but giving him an extra 0.3 seconds in the pocket, that may be the difference between 30 and 35 touchdowns this year. I mean, he's tremendous back there and he's got a good sense of the pocket, but you got to give him a chance. So,
sure.
I think we're pretty comfortable. On our left tackle, the blind side, we feel great. Anthony Costanzo, we got his contract done. We feel really, really good about that. Like I said, Todd Harriman should do a great job at left guard. So we feel pretty good about the blind side. It's really just the sort of three right positions that we're trying to work out and make sure that we've got consistency going into the season. Defensive line was another place of need. Going into the draft this year, there were really two places that I thought we were going to look early, and that was defensive line and safety. As usual, I was wrong. We passed on really highly rated 3-4 down linemen and a safety who I really like to pick up, Philip Dorsett. He's right. a U guy, so you know Chuck Pagano wanted him.
Yeah.
Just a burner. He's got – he apparently in his workouts with us, he was running – he ran two sub 4.3 40s for us. It's the kind of guy that you don't expect to see on the board that low. I can't really understand what the knock on him is to have that kind of speed and fall to that position. He was the best guy on our board, and we took him.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a surprise, not a needed position. We picked up a cornerback in the second round who we like, good speed. And then we picked up two down linemen on the defensive side of the ball, one of which – actually, both of which are Stanford guys. So we think we'll have immediate chemistry there and some added depth.
That's pretty
the
cool.
The third round guy especially was a really great find in the third round. Guy's name is Sims, I think. But the big news in the offseason.
No. So here's what I know. And this is what's exciting to me. There are a couple guys that I know from playing fantasy football and just from being a casual football fan that were always pretty good. And suddenly they're on my team. One of those guys is Frank Gore as a running back. Been a solid running back for, who do you play for? San Francisco?
49ers.
Yeah, for the 49ers. Just a guy that's going to, you know, maybe not break it open, but just give you the solid, you know, yards you need. Just pound it, wear a defensive line down. And then the big news, I think, is we signed Andre Johnson.
Yes, we did.
Wide receiver. I mean, this guy's a like a superstar. I mean, he's a superstar. And we put him with Andrew Luck, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like that's pretty exciting, right? I mean, now you've got him with the Dorsett signing. Who else do we have? We still have T.Y. Hilton, who can just
got T.Y. run. Hilton, yep.
And then you know we still got Dwayne Casey at tight end, who I love.
Dwayne Allen, yeah.
Dwayne Allen, yeah.
And Kobe Fleener, yeah.
I mean, this is potential to be epic offensively.
Sure. So Andre Johnson is an older guy. He's 33 years old. Last year he was under 1,000 yards, caught 935 total, I think. But he was catching balls for the Houston Texans, who are just god-awful. Just god-awful.
They're not real good.
They're bad. Offensively. Defensively, they're a wrecking crew. But offensively, they're just embarrassing. And he still got almost 1,000 yards out of those guys. I mean, he's a big body who's still got some leaping ability. He's going to be able to get up over them corners. He's going to be a great red zone threat. He's not afraid to go over the middle. I love Andre Johnson. Consummate pro. There's really nothing to like about that guy. And even as recently as last year, I think Nico was arguing that he was a better wide receiver than Calvin Johnson, which is still ridiculous, but the point does stand that he's a hell of a wide receiver and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and very, very happy to have that guy. Frank Gore, he'll do everything for you, right? He's good in pass pro. He can come out of the backfield. He's a very underrated pass catcher. Deceptively good speed once he hits the hole. And he's been, he's been a workhorse his entire career. Now, what does that mean for a 32-year-old guy?
Yeah, he's a little bit older, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the number of guys over 30 who have rushed for 1,000 yards in a season. That's a pretty damn short list. I think the last guy to do it was probably Steven Jackson. I think that'll be tough.
But do you need somebody to do more than that? Do you need 1,000 yards from Frank Gore? I mean, with all this ability to air it out with these guys that can just fly down the field, and then Andre Johnson who could just catch something over the middle, on some level, you just need somebody who does the right things and protects the quarterback and gives you the grind out yards you need, right? I mean,
it's a passing league. There's no two ways about it. We're going to pass the ball 60 to 70% of the time this year.
Yeah.
You'd love to be able to run the football in situations, right? Situational football and third and shorts and, 4-minute offenses, that sort of thing. Do we need him to rush for 1,000 yards? No. And furthermore, I think at his age, we don't want him to carry the ball 30 times a game. I don't think that's on our radar. We've got Vic Ballard, who's already having injury problems again, which drives me nuts because that kid's so much talent, but we just can't get the kid healthy. We also drafted a running back, I think in the fifth round, Josh Robinson. Kid we seem to like quite a bit. Another tough runner. He's going to make defenses pay. And if he can get to the second level in the fourth quarter, those safeties are not going to want to wrap him up. So I think it's going to be defense or running back by committee. I think it almost has to be in the league at this point. But if you've got a reliable first and second down back in a Frank Gore, who not only can reliably run the football against eight-man fronts, which is all this kid has ever seen. This kid has never seen a six-man front.
Right.
Ever in his career. I mean, the stats on him against eight-man fronts, it's like 85% of the time he's facing eight in the box. And the guy still rushes for 1,000 yards a season.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're going to go out this year with what I think may be the deepest receiving core in the league, and we're going to spread these guys out.
Yeah.
And good luck putting eight in the box against Andrew Luck. He's going to torch people. So to me, there's no question that this is a top five, should be a top three. Last year, I think we were rated, I want to say, third or fourth in yards per game, and then eighth or ninth in scoring production offensively. That's going to get better. We're going to be better running the ball. We're going to be better passing the ball. Andrew Luck, believe it or not, has not peaked yet. I think last year he had 23 red zone touchdowns and one interception, which is staggering. And if he can keep up, you know, protecting the ball and keep that, you know, touchdown to turnover ratio at an acceptable level, and I mean, we're going to win a bunch of games. So. The question comes down to defense.
Well, now, are you worried about the defense? Is it something that we should worry about? I mean, because you can go and outscore a lot of teams in this league, right?
Yes. But you need defense to win championships. I don't care who you are. Defense wins championships. You can look at the Patriots run. You can look at what the Seattle Seahawks are doing. Ultimately, offense is great, but you've got to be able to play good defense against great teams in January. The weather gets tougher. It's tougher to put up points. Nothing comes as easy, right? You're fighting for every yard. So I see us as a tie. I think the offense is going to progress because all of those guys are workers, and that's what they do. They're professionals. They'll make it work. We can't put our defense in bad positions by being overly aggressive and turning the ball over. We've got to continue to be patient, even with the tools that we have. It's a wealth of riches on offense. And so when you're looking big picture at this, Ryan Grigson, GM, has taken a similar tack to Bill Polian before him. And shout out Bill Polian, who just made the Hall.
That's right. Shout out.
Basically, we're drafting the offense, and we're free agency in the defense.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And we're counting on Coach Chuck Pagano to make whoever we put out there into an elite unit. I've kind of said from the start they don't need to be a top five defense. They absolutely have to be a top 10. But in order to win a championship, in order to go all the way, they probably do need to be top five.
And we're not there yet.
No, we're not there. Right now, by the numbers, we're kind of middle of the road. A little bit better than that, actually, when you throw in turnovers and some other advanced stats. But Chuck Pagano, we're really looking at his third year here, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He's just now getting his guys in there. We went from a 4-3 to a 3-4 system, and he's finally had a little bit of control over, you know, what we're picking out. So, I think the guys are really going to get it this year. I think that our veterans are going to be playing a lot faster. We made some upgrades at linebacker. Obviously, we're hoping we'll have Mathis back for the beginning of the season, which makes such a huge difference. Losing that guy last year and not having another pass rusher, right, and to play as well as we did for most of the year is really, really impressive. Robert Mathis is an absolute game wrecker, right? So we picked up Trent Cole from the Eagles, who can rush the passer. We also got Nate Irving from the Broncos at linebacker, which I think is going to help our team. Love DeQuell Jackson. Love Jarrell Freeman. We've got two of the best cover corners in the game. There's no reason that we can't be a top five defense in this league.
I like that. So now you're talking about being top five in both offense and defense?
And I think that's what it takes.
That gives you a shot.
The real thing that we have to be able to do, though, is stop the run. Guys are going to be – opposing coaches are going to game plan for Andrew Luck, and we're going to see the same stuff that we saw from the Peyton Manning era, right? We're going to have guys who want to run the rock, and whether that's spreading the field or whether that's pounding up the middle, guys are going to want to run against our team and not give the ball to Andrew, because when that happens, he's going to score points.
Right.
So first and foremost, we've got to figure out ways to stop the run against multiple different looks. But if we can do that – I trust Vontae Davis and you know, Darius Butler and Greg Toler. These guys will shut down wide receivers.
Sweet.
So, long story short, I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited too now. This is awesome.
I think our offseason gets an A overall. People were really pissed about the Philip Dorsett pickup, and I was taken aback. But I know how well we scout these U players and the pipeline that we have to them. Andre Johnson, you got. The reason we got Andre Johnson, because we had Frank Gore. We put him on a plane, let Frank Gore do the work for us. Another U guy. So I know that we know what we need to know about Philip Dorsett. And, God, we're just going to have so much speed. It's going to be electric to watch. If history holds, every year since we've drafted Andrew, we've gone another round deeper and lost. So we're on pace to lose in the Super Bowl this year. But I'll tell you what, if you can get to the Super Bowl, anything can happen. So I would expect a bad year would have us in the conference finals at least. So,
did you sort of give yourself a win-loss thing? Or
I mean, we're a 13-win team.
Mark it down, Pacer Nation. Harper thinks we're winning 13 games and losing in the Super Bowl. So this is why we keep you around. We wouldn't know any of this without you. We're all just basketball nerds. But I'm excited. I always love watching the Colts. I watch every week. And don't know as much as you do because I don't put in the nerdy like I should, but I'm a fan. I'd love to go to the Super Bowl. And I'm really excited to watch Andrew Luck go to work. And really excited to have Mathis back. Again, one of those guys that's just an ambassador for the team and for the city. It's going to be good stuff.
He is now. Just so you know, he's still technically on the pup.
What?
Yeah, he's still on the – him and Donald Thomas are still on the pup. Sorry, the physically unable to perform list.
Does he have to retake his tests or whatever?
He's got to go take his SATs.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
He forgot his ACTs or something. I don't know how it all works, but
I'm sure he'll pass.
They say he's progressing, but one thing we're not going to do is rush a 34-year-old guy back into the lineup for training camp.
Sure,
Robert Mathis doesn't need training camp. No. That guy needs to be held back because his mind and his body will always tell him go. So we need to be the ones to make sure that we kind of, you know, keep him at a more reasonable pace.
Right.
But again, yeah, you love that out of a professional, out of a competitor. I'm excited to see him on the football field.
Well, so I mean, on some level, you can look at this. Pacers are going the way of the Colts. They're just going all offense, going fast and athletic on the offensive end, and trying to hold it together on defense and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. Larry Bird had some quote. He was like, you know, maybe we score a more points a game, but if we only give up two more, then hey, that's net plus six, right?
Sure. You can be a little less good at defense as long as you're way better at offense.
Right. And I think the thing is that being defense, I really do understand the argument that being a defensive powerhouse takes such a toll on you as a team. Yep. In terms of injuries and everything else, that, you know, being a great offensive team first and sort of building a great defense around that, I mean, it's not a bad strategy in today's NBA.
Well, so it's not a bad strategy as well by with the coach that you have. I mean, Vogel has proven that he has a system that works, that he can preach, you know, to the guys to do the defense. I mean, we've been a fantastic defensive team over the last 4 years. So if you say, Vogel, let's open it up, I'm going to give you the offensive pieces to do it. And even if your players aren't as talented individually defensively, the scheme itself works. And that's going to get us where we need to go. It's not a bad strategy at all, especially if for Larry Bird, if we believe what he says, that he had to do all this on the fly, has done a pretty impressive job. I'll say that begrudgingly. All right, well, what do you got? What else you got? Does he got anything else?
I think that's all I got for this week. I'll be off for the next 3 weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to get a pod in.
From your new house.
For training camp.
We'll do
new
a
place,
new
place, Eugene.
Yeah, I think we can make that happen. You'll be all moved in by then.
Yeah. Second week of September, I might be able to put some together.
Well, I think that that will be our two favorite things that we do in the off season would be where that player at and the schedule preview. I think that could happen there when you get back. So look forward to that, Pacer Nation. We may do some underwatchables. We may do some other pods without Harper, but. But yeah, next time you hear his voice, we'll be doing some great preview.
Get ready for a rating spike.
Yeah, We're doing some preview of the upcoming Pacers season. So thanks for everybody who's been listening in this off season. I guess if you need to get a hold of us, text us, tweet us. You know, actually, we want a special shout out to Miles C. He's at Pacers145. We got into a nice little conversation with him on the Twitters, and appreciate the feedback. So shout out, buddy. And here's hoping that Chase Budinger is as good as you think he's going to be. I've got my fingers crossed.
He's going to be Chase Budinger great.
He is going to be Chase Budinger great. So you can reach out to us on the Facebooks. We're on the Unbeatables/Facebook/Unbeatables.com. We're on the Twitters. Actually, I have no idea what these things are. Joey's not here to do this. I'm not a tech guy. If you need to get a hold of us, just search us on the web or listen to a previous podcast where Joey does a great job at the end of every pod telling you how to get a hold of us. So, otherwise, I'm just going to go with what I know. You can get some t-shirts at our
merch.
Yeah, at our website, which I believe is unbeatables.com. And after I hear that, I always say, for our once and always coach, Bobby Sick Leonard, turn out the lights. The party's over.
I think we're at theunbeatables.com.
Ah, damn it. It's theunbeatables.com. Just Google it. Just Google it.
If you always say it that creepy, we're going to get some weird hits on our website. That went pretty good for being sober.